Home. I adore my city. I love my country. That's why I want everything to be normal. But if something happens, I'll just have to take shelter in the basement.
Many civilians in eastern Ukraine have already had the harrowing experience of hiding in basements while fighting raged around them. If it becomes a target, Mariupol could be the most awful example yet of the cost of this war. Corey Flintoff, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. ConAgra Foods today says that it has taken a $1.3 billion charge on its struggling private brands segment in the latest quarter. ConAgra's store brand business has struggled to find its footing since the company bought Rao Corp for $4.95 billion in early 2013. That softness continued in the latest quarter, with sales falling 4.7% to $1.01 billion as volume fell 7%. Overall, the company posted a loss of $954.1 million, or $2.23 a share, compared with a profit of $234.3 million, or 56 cents a share, a year earlier. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending March 19th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 3.8, next year, 2.9. Corn this year, 17.1, next year, 1.1. Soybeans this year, 18.6, and next year, 8.1. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 280,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 15-16 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,555, down 94 points. The NASDAQ, 4287, down 36. The S&P 500, 2045, and it is down 8 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. And Drew, it's a great day to be a duck.
Yep, you're right about that. Maybe a goose, since it's kind of chilly out there too. It looks like today the temperatures are coolish around the region. We've got a lot of 30-degree temperatures this hour from really north to south across the area. The only 20s are out there in the north, but we are going to cool down some additionally across the region as we go forward through the balance of the week and into the early part of the weekend. Going to get downright nippy again. We do have some rain out there this morning occurring from Ohio and southeastern Michigan back through much of Indiana and down to southern parts of Illinois and southeastern Missouri into Kentucky. Most of the intensity of the rain is light, but it is going to work its way eastward as we go through the rest of the morning and into the afternoon. Should be out of the way fairly quickly, though. I don't think we're going to see it prevail for very many hours. There will be colder air coming southward, and we're seeing some snow occur across the Great Lakes region at this hour as the colder air starts to push into those areas. For the rest of the day, though, today, we're expecting the afternoon temperatures to peak out mostly in the 30s and 40s across the northern Midwest, and lower areas will probably see 40s. So really what we've got out there right now is about as warm as it's going to get for today. A little bit of a warm-up maybe by a few degrees, and then we'll turn right around and cool off fairly quickly tonight. Highs tomorrow will be mostly 20s and 30s in the northern parts of the region and mostly in the Great Lakes region, while 30s and 40s occur in the lower portions of the Midwest, including all of the Ohio River Basin and Missouri. And we'll likely see a repeat of that again on Saturday afternoon, and then we'll start to warm things back up again with temperatures by the early part of next week back into the 40s across the Great Lakes region and 50 and 60 degree readings likely in the lower parts of the Midwest, with southern Illinois and Missouri warmest relative to the rest of the region. A lot of warmth, a lot more warmth, I guess I should say, will be present in the plains over a big part of the next week to 10 days. A lot of concern still on for the hard red winter wheat country, where there's still a great need for much greater amounts of precipitation over those areas. There's not much precipitation that's occurred recently. There are several storm systems slated to impact that area as well as our own backyard here. Looks like there will be a fairly frequent succession of small weather disturbances that will be marching through the Midwest. After a short-term break, well, we won't see much precipitation over the next couple of days. There will be a little shot of energy coming through the western Corn Belt from portions of South Dakota and Iowa down into Missouri. That will occur mostly as we go from late Friday night into Saturday. And other than that, there shouldn't be any well-organized precipitation in the Midwest until a frontal system moves across the region on Sunday. Going into Monday, that frontal system will produce rain and snow in the north and just some rain showers in the south. Moisture totals with that event will probably run a tenth to maybe 3 or 4 tenths of an inch, not expecting it to have a huge impact on the region. But it does bring some cooler air back into the region again, so it's going to be difficult for us to warm the soil temperatures up across the lower parts of the Midwest. And between that and the moisture that's out there, is going to be difficult to see aggressive early season planting activity occur for a while. There will be an increase in storminess across the Midwest as we go through the first week in April, so be aware of that. And this will include many of the areas that usually get planted earliest, so we'll be watching that. In the meantime, there's not much that's changed in South America, although Brazil is going to be seeing some better harvest conditions coming up for a while. The center, south, and northern areas, of course, were very wet for a number of weeks. They are going to see much improved conditions, and Argentina is going to continue to see just about ideal late-season crop development potentials. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 561 1/4, down 1 3/4. July, 566 1/2, down 1 3/4. Soft May, 517 down 2. July, 521 1/2, down 2 1/4. May corn, 396 1/4, up 1 1/4. July, 404, up 1. December, 419 1/4, up 1 1/4. May soybeans, 979 3/4, up 1. July, 983 1/2, up 1. November, 959, up 1 3/4. May soybean meal, 324.30, down 20. May soybean oil, 31.24, up 20. April live cattle, 161.85, up 12 1/2. March feeders, 217.32 1/2, down 37 1/2. And April lean hogs are 60.60, and they're up 77 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
It looks like a market to me that is just waiting around for Tuesday.
Yeah, it is, although the undertone in the corn market has certainly been firm. We topped the 100-day moving averages. We've had two closes now above it in December corn, and that comes in around 417 today, just a hair over that. And May corn overnight topped that 100-day at 396. So didn't spark a lot of fun buying. A lot of times we do when we top one of those important moving averages. But, yeah, the market does seem to be supported by additional short covering and maybe a little bit new buying. We saw funds come in and buy the corn yesterday.
Let's look at some commodities in particular. Let's begin with the soybeans. We saw pretty decent weekly sales.
Yeah, decent weekly sales and a pretty big sale to unknown destinations today of 280,000 metric tons of 15-16 crop. Still some scattered showers down there in the southern part of Brazil around Paraná. We still are a ways away from hitting resistance levels in these beans. Don't forget, too, Dave, that the April grain options go off the board on Friday. Mm. And I think we're trying to push these May beans up close to the $10 area at that stage of the game, 980, some strikes in there. November beans certainly needs to close above 960 to be able to be taking a look at 990. I'd really like to see a close in November this week above 966. That looks like a lot of resistance to me.
And just a little bit more on the corn, I suppose, in relation to Friday's Hogs and Pigs report?
Hogs and Pigs report's expected to show about a 7% increase in total inventory and a similar increase in kept for marketing for hogs. That certainly would up the ante on animal feed use of corn and meal as well.
And something about wheat, which I guess there was some profit-taking in this week in wheat.
Yeah, there was some profit-taking in the wheat. We'd seen a pretty big surge in wheat prices and are backpedaling some. I'm going to go back just a minute on the corn side, too, Dave, and that is that a big surge in crude oil prices this morning based on this Saudi Arabian strikes at Yemen. And that ought to shore up some of these ethanol margins if the crude stays above $50, $51 where we are this morning.
We alluded to the livestock a little bit. Let's do a little bit more before we let you go.
Cattle side of things has been pretty wild ride again today. Packers are relatively short bought these cattle, but not making much money. So we've got this historically strong basis level in cattle, but the board is not playing catch up. I did notice that Brazil cattle and feed numbers are up almost 8% year over year in the early part of 2015.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick, May corn, 396 and a quarter, up 1.5. July, 404 and a quarter, up 1.25. December, 419 and a quarter, up 1.25. May beans, 980, up 1.25. And November, 958 and 3/4, up 1.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 901 Central Time.